Hello and welcome to the Sound Test Live, your weekly celebration of video game music that generally lasts for these days about an hour and a half or something like that, where I'll take you through a playlist of personally handpicked, selected VGM greatness, along with a few requests. Got the usual games, we've got a few topics to talk about today, and we've got a lot of new stuff. There's actually a lot of fresh stuff that's come out in the past week to talk about and play, so there's some really cool brand new stuff to get to today. But it's been an absolutely insane week, as I think everybody around the world can agree with, as we've all been completely snowed over by this coronavirus pandemic. And that's something that I don't want to concentrate on today, because it's taken over all of our lives. Well, although Ollie has said that his routine has changed about 0%, same here really, except that I'm finding it hard to buy chicken at the supermarket. However, it's all we can hear about on all of our social media feeds, wherever we scroll, wherever we go, it's coronavirus mania at the moment. So what I want to do with this show today is provide a little bit of a pocket away from that. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to dwell on that. We're just going to enjoy all of this VGM, the fresh stuff, the games, the requests, the hand-picked, and the various topics that we've got to talk about. Now, straight out of the gate, we've got some cool stuff to talk about, because what we opened up there with was a version of Oil Panic from Game & Watch Gallery, and there's a few reasons for playing this. Now, for a start, it was requested by Alex Messenger, who you might know from his own show, The Messenger Presents a VGM Journey, which we have talked about a couple of times on this show, and is well worth going and checking out. And he's actually done a full episode recently, basically dissecting and having a deep look at the Game & Watch Gallery original soundtrack on the Game Boy, because it was one of the games and one of the soundtracks that he tells me was a founding inspiration for getting him into VGM, and was one of the things that really set the fire alight in listening to video game music for Alex the Messenger, which is fantastic to hear. And this is the question that I posed to you guys at the end of last week's show, and what I wanted to come to on this show was to talk about the tunes, the games, the composers that lit that fire for you, so we can find out a little bit more about you guys. And of course, the names that are firing this stuff off through the years. I'm really, really interested to see what you guys have come out with. And we've got some things to talk about today. Of course, Game & Watch Gallery for Alex there, but that wasn't actually the original Game Boy version. And if you want to go off and hear all of the original Game Boy stuff in its full glory, being analysed by a real true fan, you want to go out and check out the VGM Journey episode by Alex that covers all of that stuff. But luckily enough, I was able to find this alternate version of the soundtrack, and I've talked to Alex about it personally this week, and neither of us can source where it's from. It seems to be just somebody's remix, somebody's alternate version of the Game & Watch Gallery soundtrack, but neither of us can source where it's from, which is a bit annoying, because I'd like to be able to say what it is, but I don't actually know. It's just an alternate version of Oil Panic from Game & Watch Galleries. Really, really nice. It's slightly pepped up, but make sure you go out and check out those full Game Boy versions as presented by Alex. And what a great choice for a early VGM inspiration. And we've got a couple more, and we're going to jump right into them now, because I like to leave the features a little bit now, settle myself into the show without having to worry about the sound effects showdown and all things like that. So let's hear a couple more of these founding inspirations from you listeners. This time we're going to go twice, two different tracks that take us into caves. Very cavey tracks here, and both in the title, Caves, from two different people, so a nice little coincidence there. First up, from Echo the Dolphin, representing some of Shady Lane's earliest VGM journeys, and unfortunately Shady Lane's not around to join us tonight, but we'll still celebrate his earliest VGM inspiration, Echo the Dolphin's Undercaves, and this is from the Genesis version, of course, and because Shady Lane is my brother and I grew up with him, this is very much a founding VGM tune for me too. Undercaves from Echo the Dolphin. from the undercaves of Echo the Dolphin all the way to Dark Cave from Pokemon Gold and Silver, representing another early VGM inspiration choice from the listeners there, this time from Ollie, picking out Pokemon Gold as one of the games that really kicked off his love for VGM. And that is a fantastic choice because those early Pokemon games are very much in my own history. I've got so many stories I could tell about staying up late at night on borrowed Game Boys that I think I've already told those stories on this show actually at some point. But yeah, Pokemon Red, Blue, into Gold and Silver were all very, very founding inspirations for me too, Ollie. So what a fantastic choice that is. I picked out Dark Cave there because I love, love, love its baseline. I actually specifically remember walking around the Slowpoke Cave just to hear that. Because if I'm not wrong, that does play in the Slowpoke Cave. I mean, I'm looking all the way back to when I was like 11, 12 years old here. So it's been a long time since I've dusted that memory off. But hopefully I'm right on that one. Still, two amazing choices for things that got you guys into VGM. Off the back of Alex's Oil Panic choice, which was another great choice. Loving hearing you guys' responses to these questions. And I'm going to have to try and come up with one by the end of today's show, because I have been extremely stretched this week, as I think I said, so many different things. I've been working on the Outer Wilds episode to death, which was supposed to be premiering today, but the main reason that it hasn't is, well, coronavirus stuff getting in the way, and B, the fact that I got an out-of-the-blue interview with Jason Graves, who has worked on loads of incredible games like the Tomb Raider reboot, Dead Space, Until Dawn, so many different massive titles. And this interview just kind of came out of nowhere. And that's going to be streaming directly after this live show. And we're going to hear some Jason Graves not too long away in this show. But first up, there are things we have to attend to. And it is, of course, the Sound Effects Showdown first and foremost. Now, I haven't had many answers, if at all, if I think back on it, on this set that we had last week. So you guys, if you've got any answers, make sure to DM them to me, Facebook them to me, or whatever, in this little chance that you've got now, because I'm going to play last week's round one more time, as I always do, and you've got this last chance to get your answers to me. Because as thinking about it, I don't think I've got any points. And it was a tough one, I'm not going to lie. It was a really, really tough set. So I've tried to make this week's a little bit easier. But for any new listeners, the Sound Effects Showdown is where I play three sound effects from three different games. You guess what they are and what the game is that they're from for 6 points in total. And the winner with the most points after 5 weeks wins an actual prize. So this was last week's round, which was round two of five. And we will come to round three after some more music. So this is a last chance for you guys to get answers in. I'll be checking my DMs and everything as the next pieces of music are playing. So here we go. Three more times on these sounds.
Attention!
And I concede that this is actually probably the toughest set of sounds I've ever put together.
Attention!
And one last time.
Attention!
So it looks like because I've upped the difficulty, it's possible that we might have an across-the-board no points this week. And that's all on me for making it too hard. So we'll see if we manage to get any answers in while the next set of music is playing. And then we'll come to round three, a new set of sound effects, which I have attempted to make a little less obscure. So let's listen to some Jason Graves, considering that we've got a big hour-long interview with him in which we go into practically every area of his career over the years. It's amazing, some of the things that he talks about. So let's take some time to actually listen to a couple of pieces of his music. And most of the time, Jason is known for orchestral works and working with orchestras and things like that. But before we got into some of that, and there's a lot of talk about that in the interview, I wanted to highlight some of the maybe stranger stuff that's popped up in his career over the years. Some of the stuff that might stick out from that orchestral stuff by being a little bit different. So first off, this is quite a kooky, playful tune that for me really stuck out in his career as being really different out of his works. And I really love this. It's a lot of fun from a game called Fat Chicken. And it's the game's main theme, but an acoustic remix version of it by Jason Graves.
The dark wood falls before me. with broken bow and blackened leaf, I stand where trees meet with the sky, and in the stillness find you by. When all the paths are overgrown and evening falls with crimson glow, to the forest I will flower, and in its shadow find you are. Darkness falls across land and black sea. I can hear crumbling wall and mossy stone, mere memory of forgotten home. The shadows past, nothing to fear. Though we're apart, I feel you near. Darkness falls across land. Taken flight so far above the treetops high, I'll search the dark wood far and wide, pulling me closer to your side. Darkness falls across land.
Now, many among you might have just recognised that voice, and if so, yes, that is Maluka, who we've played on this show a couple of times before and who got talked about quite in depth, actually, during the Banner Saga episode with Austin Wintory, because she was involved in the Banner Saga soundtrack as well. And that was from a PlayStation VR game called Moss, which had its soundtrack composed by Jason Graves, and included Maluka on its end credits track there, Home to Me. And what a beautiful, beautiful track that is there, from Maluka's vocals to, for me, the drums on that track are absolutely incredible. And Jason and I talk about that track quite a bit in the upcoming interview to come at the end of this. It's such a tune. And I remember when I was listening through the Moss soundtrack ready for the interview, it was just kind of running on, and I started to think as that track was on, hang on, is that Maluka? Sounds exactly like Maluka. And then went on to Google and found out, of course, it is. And it's just, it's so amazing to have distinctive voices like that. Absolutely brilliant. Where you know it's Maluka when it's Maluka. That fantastic vocal style. Gorgeous. We're going to have to get some more of her own stuff on next week, maybe. But of course, you all want answers to the sound effects. That's what it's all about. So shall we just jump straight into them then? Let's not mess around. First one was this.
Attention!
Which was from Bishy Bashy Special, a game that I champion, a game that I love, a PlayStation 1 obscurity full of mini-games. I think there's about 50, maybe even more than that. It's crazy, Bishy Bashy Special, and I played it to death as a child. It's one of my favourite games of all time, and I'm hoping to do some kind of stream of it at some point. But that attention came up at the start of every single mini game before teaching you its controls. So that's what that was, basically. I think I thought Bishy Bashy Special was a much bigger game than I think it was. Okay, so that was the main long beast, and the one I'm surprised a few people didn't get it from Earthbound, actually. The start of battles. It's a specific start of battle because they come at you from all different angles, and depending on the angle that they come at you, it makes a different sound. But I would have took starting a battle on Earthbound, and I chose that one out because I've been playing Earthbound on my PlayStation Classic, which is a game I've never actually sat down and played, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. I'm having a wonderful time with it. Did I say PlayStation Classic? I did, of course, mean SNES Classic. If so, my head's all over the place today. But yeah, basically the start of a battle from Earthbound, I would have given. Doesn't matter what angle they're coming from. I'm not going to get pedantic. And the last one was this, which was Tingling at Lewis. But unfortunately, he didn't get it, and nobody did. It was an across-the-board 0 points, except for two, for Shady, who got the attention from Bishy Bashy, because he grew up playing that. But to put you out of your misery on that last sound, it was actually a health item from Resident Evil 4, a game that I have never actually played. I played the first two or three Resident Evils, and that's how I'm pretty sure that that's right, that it is a health noise, because it sounds very, very similar to the health healing noise that you had on the original Resident Evil, so I'm pretty sure that's right. I always take a bit of a risk when it's a sound effect from a game that I've not actually played. But there you go, that was the difficult set of sound effect showdowns. Put you out of your misery, there are the answers. But we've got a much easier set this week, I think, and I want to get some good answers in on these ones. You can get in touch with me on Twitter, where I'm at GreenT128, Facebook, where I'm simply The Sound Test. You can just do it in the comments, and all sorts of stuff. This is round three of five, and the points where there are is 4 for VGM Very Good Music, 2 for Lewis, 2 for Ollie, and 6 for Shady Lane. So this sound effect showdown is going to have to kick into gear. 3 rounds left, and this is round 3. And although they are a lot easier, they certainly do go by a lot quicker. So you might have to go through the week and maybe analyse those and pick them out and individualise them. But all three of those are much better known sounds, and I want to get some answers in on those this week because we want to see those points running up and running up. Lewis is beating himself up for his guesses. I thought his guesses were really good because he said the Earthbound start of battle thing was like the start of a racing game, as it kind of zooms in like behind the races kind of thing. And I can totally see that. That makes total sense, dude. That's a really good guess. I almost feel like giving you 0.5 of a point for it because it's so close. Like, if you was a sound designer, I would totally accept that for that. But I don't think I can give out 0.5s for things that would basically work in other contexts. But don't beat yourself up. Those guesses are fantastic. And never be scared to guess anything, because it's also cool to see what you guys might be applying to these sounds. And that they might work in different contexts as well. That's actually pretty interesting stuff. So for the next slice of music, I thought we would concentrate on Tomb Raider a little bit, because we talk in the Jason Graves interview a fair bit about his work on the Tomb Raider reboot. And we've already heard from Jason Graves on this show so far. So I thought we'd pop back in the past and listen to a couple of other composers who have put their stamp on the Tomb Raider universe, which of course has such rich music as it's evolved over the years. And where better to start than with, of course, Nathan McCree, the guy who started it all doing the first trilogy of Tomb Raider games, and who has appeared on this show, I think once in a live bonus interview, once in an actual Tomb Raider podcast, and he will be appearing in an upcoming Mega Drive episode where he will be talking about his earliest work in the industry, where that's super cool to hear. But all the way up to today, he's still going strong, recently having put out the Tomb Raider Suite, which reimagines all of his incredible Tomb Raider music with a full orchestra, specifically the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. So let's hear their incredible rendition of Tomb Raider's Time to Run. Thank you. Peter Connolly's theme from Tomb Raider, The Last Revelation, which is, again, a game I haven't actually played, because the last Tomb Raider that I spent any significant time on before the reboot was Tomb Raider 3, which I think is just about probably the greatest classic Tomb Raider game, at least if you ask me. Now, I know when it was released, it got a lot of bad reception for being kind of quite enigmatic, like it was quite impossible to get through it without a guide and things like that, and they deliberately made it quite awkward and difficult. But I loved its exploration, I loved its environments, I loved the ways that it expanded on the original two Tomb Raider games. I thought it was absolutely brilliant, and I never quite followed the train into The Last Revelation, so I'm going to have to collect some opinions on that, if any of my listeners have spent any significant time with Tomb Raider after the first three, because I played the hell out of that reboot, but otherwise I only really know the first three, so I want to hear from you guys if you know much more about the Tomb Raider series after that. Let me know what it's like, because I am actually a huge fan. I just never really delved into it as it continued to go through the series, and Peter Connolly did great music for Tomb Raider. I've listened to it before. I was hoping to interview him for series one, and hopefully maybe we can still get him on the show at some point in the future, because that would be absolutely brilliant. I'd love to talk to Peter Connolly, because he's done a lot of great stuff in this industry, but so many interviews to work on, as you guys know. But I think after that little serene pocket with Tomb Raider, and also Home to Me, going back to Moss was quite a relaxed kind of tune, even though it had those busy drums, still quite laid back. I think it's time to pick this show up. I think it's time to get some beats in. I think it's time to get a little bit energetic. And who better to achieve that than 8-Bit Weapon, who are an electronic duo who often use video game sounds in their work, from the Commodore 64 to Amiga. I've seen them with N64s and things like that. They seem to have just a general fascination with video game music and use it in their music as much as possible, hence 8-Bit Weapon. And they are absolutely brilliant. And there's a reason beyond their music that we're actually playing this today, and we'll come to that after we've heard it. For now, I'd sort of perk myself up a little bit on this potentially apocalyptic Friday evening with Dungeon Crawler Baller from 8-Bit Weapon. Okay, if you liked that, get ready to be happy. And Ollie has already said in the chat that, ah, man, that synth is too good. 8-Bit Weapon are one of many groups, many composers, who are actually putting up their work for free on Bandcamp during this difficult time around the world. And it's something well worth checking out. Unfortunately, the album that that's from isn't available for free, but there is some 8-Bit Weapon available for free over on Bandcamp if you want to go and check that out. And you might be aware of some of the movements that have been happening with composers and Bandcamps during this difficult time, because Bandcamp has actually stopped taking money, if I'm not wrong. I haven't fully looked into this. I got an email about it myself, because I've got my own Bandcamp. I've only briefly scanned. But from what it looks like, Bandcamp are actually letting musicians take 100% of their earnings, which isn't usual. Usually Bandcamp takes a very small percentage of any earnings that you make through the platform. And during this difficult time, I believe they've stopped doing that so that we can all share more music and we can all have more entertainment through this tumultuous period. So what a great thing, actually. And as I say, some people are going the whole hog and putting up certain things for free, like 8-Bit Weapon have put up some ambient anthologies of video game inspired ambient music. It's absolutely great. So get yourself over to that, basically, because it's free and it's well worth checking out. However, don't forget, if you really do love this stuff, to support these guys wherever possible. Don't just run off and get free stuff all the time. However, it'll be nice to go get that in this time. Another guy who's been doing awesome free stuff on his Bandcamp is Philip Shepherd, who did a third of the soundtrack to Detroit Become Human. And what a career Philip Shepherd has had. Just look him up on Wikipedia and prepare to be amazed. And Outer Wilds is going to be coming out in the next week for definite, because it's pretty much finished. And then after that comes the Detroit Become Human episode featuring Philip Shepherd and Nima Fak-Ara. So this kind of dovetails in perfectly, because Philip has put up an enormous amount of his back catalogue on Bandcamp for free, just like 8-Bit Weapon. So well worth checking out, and also well worth supporting if you really love it. So let's play some of that free stuff of Philip Shepherd's instead of any of his Detroit Become Human stuff, because afterwards we'll come to a Detroit Become Human trailer that I made ages ago with Nima Fak-Ara. So Detroit Become Human fans can look forward to that after this little slice of Philip Shepherd. Sorry if you can hear my dog barking. You know she likes to get involved on some nights. So this is Zero G from Philip Shepherd from a TV series called Moon Machines. So it kind of brings us back into when I used to play a single TV track as well. So that's nice. I always like to have a little bit of a look at TV music. And Moon Machines is a really cool, I think it was on the Sci-Fi Channel, like literal documentary program, and it's got awesome music by Philip Shepherd. He's actually done two volumes of music, and it's so incredible. And it always irks me a little bit, actually, that these deep, seriously thought out pieces of work are just saved for these little television shows and then maybe not really remembered about. So let's give it a little bit of focus here. Zero G from the first volume of Moon Machines by Philip Shepherd. Don't forget, you can get this for free right now if you'd like to.
At the beginning till the very end of the project, we were not technically allowed to listen to each other's music. that actually created a very unique world for each character. I'm not too sure, actually, to be honest with you, why I was chosen for Connor. I guess I'm the most robotic one of all of them. But no, he is a robot, quote-unquote android, and he does have a robotic feel to it. One of the things that I wanted to do was actually to create something that was both kind of subharmonic and at the same time something that is deep in your heart versus just you being able to hear it. When I first started, the plan was to kind of record an orchestra and all that kind of fun stuff and be able to kind of do a big session like Philip and John that they did for their characters. But after a little while, I basically realized that I'm not utilizing any real instruments in the project. Even if they are real, they're being completely manipulated and flipped on their head. To stay true to the nature of Connor, sample instruments and sample libraries that were creating strings, woodwinds, and brass are mechanical, are kind of not perfect, are not humans. I consider myself a storyteller than anything else, than someone that is just writing to write a score. I have to be able to tell that story.
Nima Fakhara there on his work for Detroit Become Human, where he did the third of the soundtrack that concentrates on Connor, while Philip Shepherd worked on Kara and John Paisano worked on Marcus. So three different really talented composers going at it for Detroit Become Human, and a trio of incredible soundtracks that they came out with. And I was fortunate enough to speak to both Philip and Nima for the upcoming Detroit episode, and how good it is. Thought we'd poke ourselves back to that trailer that I made for it quite a while ago, considering that it's not long around the corner, because after I've got the Outer Wilds episode out next week, I'll be getting straight to work on that, and hopefully there'll be a few less things getting in my way and slowing me down as there have been over the past month. It's been quite a slow week, but I'm hoping to kick back into gear for the next couple of months, so there won't be so many gaps on full-on podcast episodes. But we're not fully done talking about Detroit Become Human here on the show. We've got a little bit more to play, and no, we're not going to play any of John's soundtrack, because there is some incredible licensed stuff on Detroit Become Human, actually. If you go and check out the full album of Detroit Become Human music, not only is there the trio of soundtracks from the three composers, but there's then also like a fourth disc of added kind of licensed stuff as well. So that game is just absolutely packed with music, which is always great to see. So let's give a little bit of love to some of that licensed music. In this case, Thornetta Davis, and we've played a track from Detroit Become Human featuring her in the past. I believe it was Set Me Free, but it was a long, long time ago that we played that. This one is called I'd Rather Be Alone and is featured in Detroit Become Human by Thornetta Davis.
Messing with my head. Well, you've been gone so long, I thought you was dead. And just when my heart healed from losing you, well, here you come knocking at my door, giving me your excuse. Well, it's too late, baby. I don't need you no more. And as you can see, that key in your hand don't unlock my door. So before you come in here telling me what you're going through, I think I got some news for you.
I'd rather be alone than be lonely with you. Said I'd rather be all by myself than take the hurt you put me through. I'm tired of living this lie now. You know it just ain't no use. 'Cause when I give you all my love, boy, all you can give me is the blues. Yeah, yeah, now go on away, little boy. Why don't you just let me be?
Twisted. That don't mean I'm by myself. Matter of fact, I got company right now. And I don't think he'd like you coming here looking all good and But I'm so glad to see you doing so well, my brother. God bless you. Bye-bye.
So, brand new Laura Shikihara there is what you just heard, recorded with Andy Hall as the male vocals there, I believe. We're Dunk Lords from Dunk Lords, which has just released, like literally in the past two days or something like that. Definitely no more than 2 days. So that right there is about as fresh as VGM can get on this show. And this is what I was talking about. I was really looking forward to playing that one. Not only because it's a complete tune, but because it's brand new Laura Shikihara, which is always great, especially considering that she is a Soundtest alumni, having appeared in the Minecraft and Plants vs. Zombies episodes so far, and has a Rakuen episode still to come, once I've been able to work my way up the interview mountain. So still more Laura to come in season 2 of the Soundtest. So great to play some brand new stuff from her on the show today. Not even on Spotify or anything like that. Got that from Bandcamp, paid for, signed, sealed, delivered, because we like to support the artists over here on the Soundtest. So go check that out if you are a big fan of Laura Shikihara's work, because that is a part of an entire soundtrack. That is, in fact, the end credits music, but it was just far too much of a tune to pass up. We're Dunk Lords. From Dunk Lords. And I remember when I interviewed Laura, she talked about how she was working on that at the time of me interviewing her. So it's really cool to hear that and see that come to fruition. Get that brand new stuff on the Soundtest. We always like a little bit of that. Up next, the VGM Songfight Battle, which I'm going to have to try and muddle my way through. But we've been doing pretty well with it the past couple of weeks. Can you believe that The Lost Woods, Saria's song, that incredible version from Ian Manoon and the DIT Traditional Irish Music Ensemble, didn't win. It didn't make it into Hall of Fame contention. I was going to say Hall of Famery. I think that works. Yeah, it didn't make it to Hall of Famery, which is something I thought was pretty much assured. And Ollie did last week as well. He said he couldn't imagine it losing. And it has, by a one vote margin to Undercurrent from Braid, meaning that Tim has found the dimensional rift device in the Lost Woods and is ready to start dicking around with it and maybe find the big bad guy, Sephiroth, who is pulling off all kinds of dodgy shit in the background all around the world. Ooh, accidentally swore there. I've been trying to work that slowly out of the show because I was listening to some old shows with Dale and we were so profane. I'm trying to make this a little bit more all ages. Whoops, didn't mean to swear. Oh, well, shit. Right, so the VGM Songfight Battle, for any new listeners, because that might have been really, really confusing to you, is where we pit up two tracks up against each other in a kind of little battle, and you vote for which one you preferred, and the winner goes on into the next week to go up against a new track. And the twist is that we tell a story throughout the weeks, and there's a kind of running narrative here. And you can catch up with that in a backstory Twitter link that you can find in the description once I've put this up on other platforms. And that'll take you to a thread where I've outlined every little chapter in intense detail so you can know exactly where you're at. And it means I don't have to do loads and loads of backstory right here on the live show, which would, I think, at this point basically be impossible. So where we're at is Tim is slipping on the dimensional rift device onto his hand and is kind of dicking around with the buttons. He doesn't know about Sephiroth. Master Hand doesn't even know that he's found the dimensional rift device. He was leaving it for a true hero. So it's up to Tim himself to work out his destiny. Or is it even his destiny? It might just get him killed. Who knows? Lots of story to come in this, and a lot of it is determined by you guys voting on the poll. So you chose that Tim would find the dimensional rift device. However, I chose that he would press the wrong button and end up in the wrong dimension. So actually, we'll just let that music play out for itself, and I'll describe where he's ended up after. So we'll see what kind of an atmosphere it creates for you. So first up, Undercurrent from Braid, representing Tim and his newly acquired dimensional rift device.
Round one. Thank you. Round 2.
We've already had Ollie in the chat saying that he's growing increasingly zen during that one. And that is exactly what I was going for. Wanted to get you guys feeling like you yourselves had been transported to a strange dimension. You have no idea where you are. So that was Black Tile from a strange, obscure little game called Antichamber, which is one of my favourite games of all time. And I've recommended it to listeners in the past. Definitely, because I recommend it to anybody who's a big fan of Portal, Quantum Conundrum, those kinds of puzzle games. You know, Braid as well, even, since we were playing Braid earlier, and The Witness, and these kinds of games that put thought at the forefront of the whole gameplay experience. And I really think anybody who enjoy those kinds of games will get something out of Antichamber, which plays a lot with impossible spaces and impossible objects, and it can be really quite mind-bending, but such a satisfying experience. I couldn't recommend it any higher. So that's Black Tile from Antichamber, representing that Tim from Braid has ended up in the strange world of Antichamber, where there are all of these impossible spaces and all of these impossible objects. It basically is its own kind of dimension. It's such a strange, odd game, but I couldn't recommend it any higher to you gamers. You gamers. I was going to say you guys, but where did gamers come from? Oh, well, right, okay. So, Antichamber, you've got to check that out. I never actually completed it. It's reminded me that I want to go out and complete it myself now, actually. I need to get on that. I might even stream it because it is such a fascinating game. But it's up to you guys whether you thought that was better than Undercurrent. It's deliberately very minimal, deliberately different track. So it's a difficult choice, I think. It's all up to you as to whether you enjoy how ambient that is, and the space, and indeed the dimension that that takes you into. That's up to you to vote on the poll that I'll put up on Twitter at some point during the week. I can't wait to hear which ones you pick out of this one, actually, because there are some potentially interesting story threads I can go down no matter what you guys choose. So we're essentially coming into the end of the show now, before running into this big, long, expansive interview with Jason Graves, which is essentially like a new episode of the actual podcast of ST2, but I still call it a bonus because it basically covers his whole career rather than concentrates on a particular series or game. But it's still got music in the background and lots of different dynamic stuff happening as he speaks. So I think you guys are going to enjoy it, and I can't wait to get onto that. But we've still got a couple of things left on this live show to fill up before we get to that. One of the main things that I was really, really looking forward to playing today is brand new Mike Richmond. Definite fan of the show, who has appeared in a live interview before, provided me with my very own physical Commodore 64, and has just generally been an all-around good guy to the sound test and provided us with a slew of great tunes. We have played Mike Richmond a lot on this show, whether it's Vegetables or his various work over the years, Black Dawn, things like that. And he did this really cool thing recently where a friend of his was creating a C64 game within, I think, about 16 hours was the time limit. This is all off the top of my head, but they were streaming their creation of it within this time limit, and Mike Richmond also did the music within, I believe, the same time limit, all unprepared. And we're going to hear the music that he came out with in that session for the game, which I believe is called Luma, and we're going to hear both its title and its in-game theme, composed by Mike Richmond under pressure. This is such cool stuff, not only for its under pressure nature, but just for being brand new Mike Richmond, which is always a joy to hear. So let's do it. First up, the title screen, and then in-game, both by Mike. Now, I don't think that I did a pick of the week last week, but considering that that's the last full piece of EGM that we're going to play on this show, it's definitely the pick of the week this week, which reminded me of the whole fact that we're supposed to do that, because that is amazing. Wow, those bass waves, slidey, slidey, rubbery bass waves just absolutely got me there. They were so beautiful, Mike, and written under pressure as well. Unbelievable, unbelievable stuff. Both the title theme and the in-game music from Luma, made on this stream by Mike Richmond. So happy to serve that up to you guys today. What a beautiful little duo that was. As Ollie has said in the chat right this second, absolute Sid heaven. Completely. God, love ending the show on something like that. And I actually kind of went into that a little bit blind, because I got the MP3 sent over to me by Mike, and I had a brief listen to like the opening little bits of both and was like, absolutely fine. You know, it's Mike Richmond, you know that he's coming out with good stuff, and those brief little snippets that I heard were more than good enough for this show. So I went into those a little bit blind, deliberately, and as you can see, they've truly taken me aback. Absolutely great stuff. So let's shut me up with the sound effects three more times, then we can go into a last bit of music that I have scheduled up, and then we have an hour-long interview with Jason Graves, which is super peppered with music all over the place, so it's not just us two chatting, it's got all sorts of stuff going on, so I hope you guys are going to enjoy it. So here come the sound effects three more times, which is where we play three sounds from three different games for a 6-point haul, and you can guess throughout the week what they are. Here we go. And they are a little bit easier this week. And for the very last time, there you go. If you want to hear those again, you're either going to have to go back through the week and get them yourself, or you are going to have to wait for next week's show and come in live and hear them for their very last chance play. Remember, if you do just listen and lurk in the chat and never say anything, that you are more than welcome. We love people coming into this chat and joining our little sound test family that we've got over here. I have seen a few new names drop in over the past couple of weeks. I'd like to say thank you to everybody who takes their time to listen to this show, especially through these difficult times, which, as I say, I haven't wanted to concentrate on at all, because I want this show to be a little bit of a pocket away from that for you guys. So if you're enjoying that while all of you are worried about the future, or maybe indeed not even affected by it at all, as some people are, then I'm just glad to have you here, and I will keep pumping this stuff out. Full podcast next week featuring Andrew Prowlow about Outer Wilds, and a whole new live show, and it ain't gonna stop after that. So much VGM to cover. I don't think I could ever hear it all in my lifetime. But I wanted to end up with a little bit of movie music, although it isn't, and this is kind of an interesting one, and this is why I've picked it out. So I think we talked about it in the chat, but not actually live on air on last week's show, about this repolished version of the Blade Runner game that's set to come out. I believe it was Lewis that brought it to my attention in the chat last week, and I love the Blade Runner game, and the Blade Runner film is my favourite film of all time. And there's a full playthrough of me playing the Blade Runner game on my YouTube channel. So this was very, very exciting news to me. I'm really looking forward to playing this pepped-up version of the Blade Runner game when it eventually shows its head. So I wanted to play something to commemorate Blade Runner, but I've made an interesting choice. It's not from the game, which is mostly Frank Klepacki attempting to recreate Vangelis' music by ear, which is incredible. And I'm not going to play something from the film, which is straight up Vangelis and is incredible. I'm going to play something from this orchestral adaptation, which is a really interesting little slot of history, actually. Because for years and years and years and years, and I'm talking decades, this was the only official Blade Runner soundtrack available. The actual versions of Vangelis music were only available through bootlegs, and stuff like that. And there were multiple different collected bootlegs of Vangelis' soundtrack to Blade Runner, but no official soundtrack, at least I don't think so. There was only this for years, an orchestral adaptation that was done on the side instead. And actually, I remember I wanted the Blade Runner soundtrack on vinyl and I couldn't find it anywhere because it hadn't been officially released. And after years of looking for something, I eventually found this orchestral adaptation on vinyl and I absolutely fell in love with it because it completely repackages the tunes. They've since officially released the Blade Runner soundtrack on vinyl and I got myself that too with a red disc, which is always lovely. But this orchestral adaptation stuff is something I really wanted to bring to you because it got kind of dismissed at the time as being nowhere near as good as Vangelis's music. And in most cases, that is true. And what you want is the original soundtrack from Blade Runner by Vangelis. But there are a couple of cases where the orchestral adaptation does some particularly beautiful or particularly interesting stuff that definitely does not deserve to be dismissed. So I'd like to share some of that with you, considering that there's a Blade Runner reboot game thing coming. I think it's still a little bit in the grey area of what exactly it is. I think it's a new version of the old game, though. So this is Memories of Green, which is one of the key themes from Blade Runner, but of course from this orchestral adaptation, and it's different in many, many ways. It's a lot more bluesy, a lot more jazzy, and I think it's really, really beautiful. So let's see what you guys think of this. And then straight into that Jason Graves interview, which will be its own thing if you're listening on other platforms.